Galatians chapter 6, verse 5. Oh, I forgot. We have our special reader. Come on up.
Good morning. Through 10. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have before, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
You may be seated. The sermon's a very interesting sermon. Samson, you died too young. When you read the scriptures, now the thing is, you don't get an Old Testament. You just get a New Testament. You don't just get a New Testament, you get a New Testament that is with their interpretation all mangled up. The Old Testament is fabulous. I think if a person really, if they read the Old Testament, it would be very difficult for them to be a Judeo-Christian. I don't see how they could. But if you read the Old Testament, it's written there for the purpose of, for our lives here. Very good examples. I think that's what you're going to be talking about. So come on up. And tell us about Samson.
Well, good morning, everybody. As Don said, the title of the message today is entitled, Samson, You Died Too Young. And as we read with our opening reading, it tells us you reap what you sow. And if you do good, good things will happen. If you make bad decisions, bad things will happen. Well, I know we all pretty much know the story of Samson. I don't know, some of we're all about close to the same age. They even made a movie. I remember I saw a movie, Samson and Delilah. I know Victor Mature played Samson, and I think Angela Lansbury was one of the ladies in there. And I remember watching that. I think I was still in high school. It was a late evening, and here comes Samson and Delilah. And, you know, when young men are young, you know, you always think of these big muscular guys, and, you know, that's kind of something that boys go through, either that or you want to be, you know, muscle-bound or like that, or especially growing up in the 70s, I think most of the guys I hung around with either wanted to be like that or you wanted to be Clint Eastwood. You know, what guy didn't want to be Clint who fought for the helpless? People got attacked or got hurt, and I know in his movies he would just take care of business. And I think, and what I want to read it and look at today, it's a pretty simplistic message, and we're basically, it's going to be a pretty easy sermon for me, because we're just going to kind of read, not word for word, verse by verse, but we're going to read a lot about his life and the story of Samson, which we all pretty well know pretty well. But I want to emphasize, and I want to bring that to today, because I'm not here to pick on Samson. I don't want to beat him up. I want to show that what happened to him could happen to any of us. When this world gets a hold of you, when this world grabs you, when this world grabs my children, and this world tries to take them away from God, it's a very, very tough struggle. I know I have been going to Covenant Church with my wife and I we'll be married January 29 years. And shortly after that is when we started going out to Pastor Jerry Wickey's church, and we've been covenant believers for 29 years. And we've seen a lot of things, I'm sure most of you have. And what I want to look at today and what I want to read about is what happens to a man, what happens to anybody, whether you're strong or weak, if this world gets a hold of you, If you make choices, as we read in the opening scripture, you will reap what you sow. Now, all through this story and through this reading today, I want you to remember something. God will forgive you, for his mercy endureth forever. If you reach, he's faithful to forgive you. But you got to remember something. He will forgive you, but you will reap what you sow. I had a good friend of mine back when I was an iron worker named Paul. Nice guy. Good worker, friendly, you know, we got along real well. He went out of town, had to go to a job out of town. And one night, he met a girl, and it was his wife for that night. Well, she got pregnant that one night, that one encounter. And he's going to be paying it for that for at least 18 years. Now, he is reaping what he sowed. Now, he could have fought, I don't know, but I'm just using that as an example. You can ask for forgiveness and you will be forgiven, but you still reap what you sow. Yes, he'll forgive you. If you smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day for 30 years and get throat cancer, is that God's fault or your fault? If you play with this world and you make decisions, you will reap what you sow, but you will be forgiven. So we're going to see that with Samson. Because as you will, if you will, turn with me to the book of Judges. We're going to spend most of the readings I got is just going to be his story. We're going to start out in the book of Judges, chapter 13, and begin in verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zohar of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink or eat nothing unclean, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come to his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So that's the prophecy. This woman was told, and in my Bible, at the beginning of each chapter, there's a little background. And I kind of want to go ahead and just read, just to show you where we are in time. And I want to just read out of the beginning of the book of Judges in my Bible here. And it just says that Samson says chapter 13 through 16. It says, just to make you understand where we are in time. It said, Israel again returned to apostasy, resulting in 40 years of servitude to the Philistines. The Philistines were a very religious people and often carried their gods into battle. They worshiped Dagon, the fish god, and Ashtaroth, which corresponds to the ancient Assyrian goddess Ishtar. Now, where do we know that from? Is Ishtar and Ashtaroth something new? Been around a long time. We just call it Easter. Samson was appointed by God before his birth to deliver Israel from the Philistines. The tribe of Judah settled on the Philistinian border. So we know that Samson was born. He had a purpose. He was born and he was chosen to be a deliverer, and he was going to help judge and deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. But as we're going to read, and I'm sure you all know the story, and we're going to jump in and out and move around a little bit, but basically he started hanging out with the Philistines. He partied with them. He hung out with them. Now, when we go to our jobs, when we go to the grocery store, we go to the store, we can't choose who's around us. But there are certain times on your own free time you choose your friends. And there's an old saying, tell me who you run with, and that will tell me what kind of person you are. If you're going to hang out with the bar scene and hang out with bar people, you're going to reap that choice. If you hang out with drug people and you get in that circle of drugs, you're going to reap that choice. If you hang out, and I've even heard, my wife and I saw 2020 years ago, a very prestigious school in, I want to say, Connecticut. I don't remember exactly, but sexually transmitted diseases were way high. And I don't know if any of you remember, when we were kind of young and naive, they had a game called Spin the Bottle. It's where you had five guys and five girls and whichever girl, and you got to kiss each other. Well, kids today, that's beneath them. They were playing Spin the Bottle, but they had pornographic videos. And you'd spin the bottle and pick a partner, and you put the pornographic the porno on tape, and you looked and you fast forwarded, and when you hit play, you had to copy what you saw on the TV. Now, if it was two girls, then the two girls. If it was two boys, then the two boys. You had no idea. That's the simplicity of spin the bottle. You got to kiss her. Look how much it's changed. And this was 15 years ago. But the sexually transmitted STDs were high. And this was a to-do-good neighborhood. Now, these kids are going to pay for that choice. They weren't bad on the outside, but it just goes to show you. Make the choice, choose the sin, choose the consequence. Forgiveness, yes. Repent, yes. Confession, yes. But you will pay. Don't forget that as we read this story. If you will, to start out, if you will, go turn to the book of Judges, chapter 14. And now we're going to start the story of Samson. And beginning in verse 1 of Judges chapter 14. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman of Timnath, of the daughter of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. And his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among thy daughters of thy brethren? Or among all my people, that thou wouldst goest and take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her, for she pleaseth me well. Now, I just want to go ahead already, just want to call a little bit of a time out and pause. Do you know how precious, how valuable is the term where we read, daughters of thy brethren? And amongst my people. What would you trade for that knowledge? How much money would you trade? How much popularity would you trade that you understand a daughter of thy brethren? Don't marry an evil, wicked Philistine. Of thy brethren. Of thy people. Parents knew that. But what did Samson do? He seen a pretty girl. Philistine. We know what the Bible says. You don't have to look it up, but in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, one of the Ten Commandments, it says, Honor thy father and mother, that thou mayest live long. Your days will be long. Okay? Let's see what happens to Samson. He's going to disobey his parents. He's not honoring his parents by wanting and craving after a wife, a girl of the Philistines. This is something that's troubled men for many, many years. It's like my son David is going to have a battle. My daughter Laura will have a battle. And the battle is between beauty versus belief. Will he have the strength when that pretty girl he wants to date, when she looks at him and quivers her tongue, her lip, you mean you're not going to come with me to my Christmas party? Why not? Will he have the strength to stand on his beliefs, or will her beauty overwhelm him? And what if she says, you mean you're not coming with me to my best girlfriend's wedding? I know she's marrying a black guy, but he's a Christian. He goes to church. He's a nice guy. He's successful. He has a good job. He has good money. They love each other. You're not going to go with me to their wedding? It's in a church. He's a Christian. She's a Christian. What's the matter? Will David and Laura reverse it? Belief versus beauty. That's going to be their struggle. I hope they find what I found in their mother. The strength. Let me ask you something. This woman that Samson wants and is demanding that he wants to take her as a wife, can they become one flesh in the eyes of God? No. He is wanting something that he wants for himself, and he is being disobedient to his parents. They're trying to reason with him, but beauty is overpowering his belief. Stay in the book of Judges, chapter 14. Let's start in verse 5. See what happens. Then went Samson down with his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid or a baby. And he had nothing of it in his hands. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father and mother what he had done. So basically a lion jumps on him, and he rips him to shreds like it was a little baby cub. Verse 7, and he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. This is the Philistine woman. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees of honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took therefore in his hand and went on eating, and came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. But he told them not what he had done, that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of a lion. Now, the reason this is mentioned, because he was not to touch a dead carcass. He killed, the lion attacked him, and he killed it, and he went away. But when he came back, the carcass was there, and here there's a honeycomb, I guess, inside the bones or whatever, and he reached in and grabbed it. Well, as a Nazarite, he was not to touch that. He violated a law that I'm sure he knew. You're not to touch the carcass of a dead animal. And he grabs his honey, and he gives it to his parents, and they unknowingly ate this honey. He violated. So that's part of the deception. And what he does next, if we'll keep reading, we'll start in verse 10. Like I say, we all know this story. I'm going to read it, and we pretty much know what's going to happen. So verse 10, so his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made them a feast, for he used a young man to do. And it came to pass when he saw him that he brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare to me within the 7 days of the feast, find out, I will give you 30 sheets or 30 shirts and 30 changes of garments. But if you cannot declare it unto me, you shall give me 30 shirts or shirts and changes of garment. So he's going to put forth a riddle. So now he's into gambling. He's going to make a wager with these guys. He says, I'm going to give you a riddle. And if you don't guess it in 7 days, you owe me. If not, I owe you. Now, he's with a wife of the Philistines. Keep reading. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife. Now, I want to pause here because we're going to read about 3 women that Samson engaged in. And all of them were evil. And I want to point out that what are these women going to do to him? So these men, he gave them a riddle. They can't figure it out. I know, let's go ask his Philistine wife. She's one of us. And it came to pass on the 7th, verse 15, that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire, and ye called us to take that we have it. It is not so. So they threaten her. They go to his wife. Hey, we're going to win this bet. He's dealing with dishonest people. He's dealing with Philistines. He married one of them. And this is the price he's paying. They've threatened you. If you don't tell us what we're going to do, we're going to burn you and your father. Okay? We're going to do this thing. Verse 16, and Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people. Are the Philistines God's people? No. Did his parents try to tell him, how about marrying a daughter of thy brethren or of our people? What are you doing with these people? Beauty overtook him. The children of my people then has not told it to me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it to my father nor my mother. And shall I tell it to these? I haven't even told my parents. Why would I tell you? So you won't see the oneness that you see in a godly covenant Christian family, husband and wife. They're arguing. And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. She wore him down. She cried, she nagged, she blah, blah. She wore him down. What was her motive? Did she love her husband? Who was she trying to please? Her husband or these 30 guys? Well, they threatened her and her father. He shouldn't have married her in the first place. Verse 18, and the men of the city said unto him in the seventh day, went down before the sun, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye have not plowed with my heifer, you have not found my riddle. So they guessed, Samson told his wife the riddle. She told the guys. Now they go to Samson. She went behind his back. She didn't tell him why she wanted to know the answer to the riddle. I just want to know the riddle. You're my husband. You're supposed to tell me anything. How can I not trust you? Blah, 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 blah. But she didn't tell him why she wanted to know the answer, to betray him. Because whoever wins this gambling bet is going to be out 30 shirts and change of clothes. So she finds out their answer. She runs to her friends behind her husband's back, because the Bible calls her his wife, and she's going to rat him out. So now what has he got to do? Verse 19, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoils or their shirts and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And the anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house, but Samson's wife was given to his companion, who he had used as a friend. So now what does he have to do? He has to kill and steal. He has to kill and steal. Rob, thou shalt to pay off the... He didn't have the 30 shirts, the 30 garments. He didn't have it, so what did he do? He stole them because he's gambling with these Philistines. And he married a girl. See the downslide? You see what is he reaping? You think that beautiful girl, did this wife care about him? No. What was her motivation? Protect her and her father, and she had a care for her people. So she wanted to find this riddle out, and she ratted him out. And because of her, now he's killing and stealing. You see the spiral. It's going out of control. Now I want to pause here, and if you will, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 5. I'm going to read something. And you tell me if you see something in here. Again, this is going back to what I say. This is the fight between beauty and belief. Verse 1. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bound thine ear unto my understanding. Father talking to his son. Listen, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as the honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. What did Samson find in the carcass? But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from my words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh to the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others and the years unto the cruel. Did Samson do that? Is he bringing honor to his marriage? Is he bringing honor by killing and stealing and gambling and hanging out with these people. He didn't listen to his parents. Verse 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despises reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teacher, nor inclined mine ear to them that instruct me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cisterns, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravaged with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords and with sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Pretty good lesson for a man to teach his son and his daughter. I think it goes both ways. But remember the cords. You know what? We're going to run into that with Samson when it comes to cords and binding. Pretty good lesson. Again, this is a story. This is a power. I heard a sermon a couple years ago coming home from work one day, and it was very good. And the guy on it, I don't remember his name. It was on Bot Radio. And it was called Every Man's Struggle. And he talked about the struggle men have with women. Women don't understand. We're guys. Matter of fact, the Bible says, help these guys dress modestly. Dress like a lady. Walk like a lady. Talk like a lady. Act like a lady. Because if a lady does that, she'll draw the attention of a gentleman. What do men want today? The MTV, the centerfolds, the Bengal cheerleaders, they're running around in their nightgowns practically on the sidelines of football. You know what's out there. And sadly, and I've said this, and I've been saying it for years, that women have lowered themselves to act like a man. And they're going to attract garbage if you advertise. Do you want the world to see your flesh or your spirit? Cover up. Dress accordingly. Act like a lady and you'll attract a gentleman. I guarantee you that will happen. But what did Samson see in this Philistine woman? I'm guessing she was a pretty girl. And beauty overpowered his belief. If you will, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 27, just for another little lesson. Psalms chapter 27, I'm going to read verse 11 and 12. Psalms 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I like what Pastor Don said earlier. If you have problems, come to the church. We'll anoint you and pray for you. Don't go to a faith healer. You want a godly woman, you're going to find her hopefully in church. Or if she reads and studies, reading and study the Bible is a pleasant thing for her. But if you go to the bars and you go find some whatever you want, a word you want to use it at a bar, what do you think you're going to get? Oh, yeah, you might have to stand in line to get this girl. But luckily, the line moves quickly for some women today. Because society, TV, movies, they have glorified relations outside of God's way of marriage. And if they do show a husband and wife, they're idiots, they're old, he's an idiot, she's a blah, blah. They don't show the glory of a loving husband and wife friendship. A loving husband. That's why we were talking with this Pastor Don last night. I think that's why the union between a man and a woman in marriage, it's called love making. It's where two become one. It's the greatest gift you can give your wife or husband on your wedding night is your purity. It's the greatest gift. And the union, the specialness that a husband and wife share, you can't find that outside of God's marriage. God's ways are the best. Always have been, always will. We're reading a story that happened thousands of years ago. It's being played out today. It's being played out today. So we're asking God to teach us our ways. So let's get back to the book of Judges, get back to the story, Judges chapter 15. So now Samson's mad because he lost the bet. And as they like to say, it's payback time. So turn to the book of Judges chapter 5. I'm going to read just Judges chapter 15, just from read verse 1 to 5. Okay, now he's mad, payback time. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go into my wife into her chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in, and her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer? Then she take her. Let her be thine, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now I shall be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail, put the firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and also the standing corn in the vineyards and the olives. Now, we used to have a dog. I know Dan, I remember Bandit. I can't imagine catching 300 foxes. They're pretty fast. Now, I don't know if God had them lay down, he walked up and just picked them up, or he had this is an incredible thing he did. He caught 300 foxes. I mean, like I said, I don't know how it happened, but this is a heck of a feat. And he burned down their crops to pay for what he did. But I'm telling you, you deal with people like this and you're going to play their game. So he burned them down. Now, keep reading. And verse 6, then the Philistines said, okay, now they're going to go after him. And let's see what happens to Samson's own people when they find out what he did. Verse 6. Then the Philistines said, who had done this? And they answered, Samson, the son of Law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. Nice people. And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt on top of the rocks of Elim. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? I mean, I don't know how many people there were, but they're kind of life's pretty good. And all of a sudden they see all these tents pop up. And they're, wait a minute, why are you come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson, are we come up, and to do him as he hath done us. I said, we're not after you. There's this one guy, one of your brethren, there's this one guy we're after. Our fight's not with you, it's with him. We're after him, not you, we want him. Okay, verse 11. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is it that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done to them. Well, they did it to me first. I didn't, you see the childish reasoning? Well, they did it to me first. They were disloyal. I trusted it. You trusted a Philistine? You trust an ungodly people to keep their word? And you get caught up in that? And you see the result? Verse 12, and it said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee unto the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that ye will not fall upon yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee unto their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. Remember the cords that we read earlier. And when he come to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosened from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an animal, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men there. Now, this is a story everybody knows. Most people who never even go to church have heard the story of Samson took a jawbone of an animal and killed 1,000 men. Everybody knows this story. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an animal, heaps upon heaps, and the jaw of an animal have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramathlehah. And he was sore athirst and called upon the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance unto the hands of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst to fall into the hands of the uncircumcised. But God clave an hallow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name there Ehakahora, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel, in the days of the Philistines 20 years. So God isn't giving up on Samson. And that's also another lesson we have to learn from this story. Our children are going to make mistakes. They're going to get in trouble. They're going to get caught. They might get arrested. They might go to jail. Hopefully, they'll learn. God's not giving up on him. He strengthened him. And now you think about this. He had the power. Now, I don't know who the strongest guy in this room is, but whoever he is, I think the rest of us could probably overpower him. But somehow, this guy whipped 1,000 men. And this is the ironic thing for me about this story. And we're going to read, we all know about what's coming up with what happened with him and Delilah. But this guy had the power to kill 1,000 men, but yet one woman will bring him down. Now that's sad. That's the power that women can have over a man if a man does this. Now, I want to keep going. Let's go on to Judges chapter 16. I want to read verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put it upon his shoulders, and he carried them up to the top of the hill. So here he is again. He hadn't learned his lesson. He's with a harlot. And they say, well, we'll wait around till midnight, or we'll wait around till he wakes up, because unfortunately, what do men do when they're with a woman and they're done? They go to sleep. He said, well, when he wakes up, we're going to get him. And he said, talk about an impression. When you see a guy rip a gate off a wall, bars and all, you don't want to mess with this guy. Now, I don't know if he was built like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Did he turn into the Hulk and get big? Or was he just a normal 5'8", 9" average guy who just had incredible? I think through time, his reputation, I think people heard about this guy named Samson. I don't know. But anyways, he had incredible strength. Now, I want to pause here, because I found something that I'd like to share with you that I think you'll find very interesting. We just read that he saw a harlot and went in unto her. Now, we all know what a harlot is. And I know I, and what you think it is, but it's also something a little bit more. And I think you're going to find, I'm just going to, there's a, in the Strong's Concordance in the original Hebrew, a harlot is number 2181. And it's a little lengthy, but you're going to, I'm going to read this to you, because I think it's very critical, and I think it'll enlighten you. But the word harlot is number 2181 in the Hebrew, and it's pronounced zona. It says, a prime root to commit adultery, usually of a female, and less often of simple fornication, rarely involvement, ravishment. To commit idolatry, the Hebrew people being regarded as a spouse of Jehovah. Go a whoring after, whoredom, commit fornication, whorish, harlot, commit idolatry, great, whores. Zenaha means to go a whoring, commit fornication, be a harlot, serve other gods. This is the regular term denoting prostitution throughout the history of Hebrew, of the Hebrew people, with special nuisances coming out of the religious experience of ancient Israel. It is used for the first time in the text at the conclusion of the story of the rape of Diane of Shechem, as her brothers excused their revenge by asking, shall we deal with our sister as a harlot? If you remember the story, these guys raped a girl, and they found out about it, and they went and destroyed everybody. It's in Genesis 34:31. Anyways, while the term means to commit fornication, whether by male or by female, it is to be noted that it is almost never used to describe sexual misconduct on the part of a male in the Old Testament. Part of the reasoning lies in the differing attitudes in ancient Israel concerning sexual activity by men and women. The main reason, however, is the fact that this term is most used frequently to describe spiritual prostitution, in which Israel turned from God to strange gods. Deuteronomy 31:16 illustrates this meaning, quote, and the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, for this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them and will forsake me, break my covenant which I made with them. Zanaha became then in common terms for spiritual backsliding. The act of harlotine after strange gods was more than changing gods, however. This was especially true when Israel went in after the Canaanites' gods, small g, for the worship of these pagan deities involved actual prostitution with cult prostitutes connected with the Canaanite shrines. In the Old Testament, sometimes the use of the phrase go a-whoring after gods implies an individual's involvement with cult prostitutes. An example might be found in Exodus 34:15-16, quote, lest they make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods. And thou take of their daughters unto their sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. The religious theory behind such activity as the Canaanite shrine was that with such sexual activity with cult prostitutes, both male and female, who represented the god and goddesses of the Canaanite fertility cult, would simulate fertility as their crops and flocks. Such cult prostitutes were designed as prostitutes, but rather holy ones or set-apart ones, since the Semitic term of holy means, first and all, to be separate for a special use. This is illustrated in Deuteronomy 23:17, quote, there shall be a whore of the daughters of Israel, neither shall there be a sodomite of the sons of Israel. So much for homosexuality, I guess. This theme of religious harlotry looms large in the prophets who denounce this backsliding into uncertain terms. Ezekiel minces no words as he openly calls both Judah and Israel, harlots, and vividly describes their backsliding into sexual terms. The book of Hosea, in which Hosea's wife Gomer became unfaithful and most likely was involved with such cult prostitutes, again illustrate not only Hosea's heartbreak, but also God's own heartbreak because of the unfaithfulness of his wife, Israel. Israel's unfaithfulness appears in Hosea 9:1, quote, "Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as others people, for thou hast gone a-whoring from thy God, and thou hast rewarded upon every corn floor." So not only is a harlot someone who commits ungodly sexual activities, it's talking about a people who go a-whoring after strange gods. And the whoring is because God's married to Israel. And when we go serve, I spent the first half of my life whoring after the gods that I was taught in the Lutheran church. They didn't know it. I didn't know it. But that's what I was doing. And when I learned, when I read the Bible, and I came out of this, I was cleansed. I was washed. That's one of the biggest, strongest messages. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on each other. We're going to fall. I've fallen. I've got things in my past I'm terribly ashamed of. I've got things I've done last week, last month, last year I'm ashamed of. My point is, this flesh is weak. As we read in the opening, my son Dave, if you reap to your flesh, you're going to draw corruption. If you reap to the Spirit, you'll draw righteousness. This is a daily battle, even for us. Guys, we're not above Samson. None of us men in this room, if temptation gets you, you might fall. It's easy to stand up here and say, I would never do that. If you've never been tried, you don't know that. You don't know that. But we've got a God that's more powerful than your sin. To illustrate that, if you wouldn't mind, please go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 23. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are in thy way of life. To keep thee from the evil women, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." Here it comes. Verse 27, "Can a man take fire in his bosom or belly and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her shall not be innocent or shall not go unpunished." If you commit this sin, you will pay for it. If you commit this sin, you will pay for it. Now, in my opinion, when it comes to a married man with another woman, adultery happens in the head before it happens in the bed. It says, if you have a fire, you cannot take fire in your bosom or belly and not be burned. We all know the story of David, King David, and the story of him and Bathsheba. Now, we all know what happened, but you think about this. You go to the shopping mall. You go to the grocery store. You go somewhere. And here comes some pretty girl. Now, she's not naked like Bathsheba was. But here comes some, and you're just, she takes your breath away. Okay, there's nothing wrong with admiring a beautiful woman or a handsome man. There's nothing wrong with that. But you stop. Would you be willing to decide a scheme to have her husband killed? So you can have, is that fire so strong in you? And this poor guy, Bathsheba's husband, he was sent off to battle with a note. This guy carried his own death certificate in his hands. And who did it? King David, a man after God's own heart. Now you remember when his youth, that's one man's opinion, he came back from war the conquering hero. You know, Saul killed 1,000. He killed, I believe, 10,000. He was a man of valor, but now maybe he's getting a little older. He sent them out to battle, and he stayed home. Now, I don't know what he was doing. You know, maybe he stayed up late, slept in early, hanging around the house, you know, got up, had his cup of coffee, ate breakfast, you know, like some, you know, watched an hour Sports Center, you know, and then he goes out walking around his roof or whatever, and he looks over and here's this beautiful naked woman. Now, did she know he was going to be there? Was she out parading herself in front? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But something happened, and this woman's beauty overwhelmed him in his belly. His lust for her was so strong, he literally had her husband killed so he could lie with her. Now, that's not today's story, but you know what happened to that child. You know what happened to David. God loved him, and I'm sure he felt bad, but did he pay for that sin with Bathsheba? Yes, he did. Cost the life of his son. But God still loved him. Yes, he made a mistake. He made a mistake. But just remember, adultery happens in the head before it happens in the bed. Be careful. You cannot take fire in your belly and not be burned. And if you do take it to this level, because it even the Bible tells us if a man looks on a woman with lust in his heart, he's committed adultery. Try to stop it there. Now, if any man in this room, if you've ever gone a week without doing that, raise your hand. I can't. Because of TV, movies, the way ungodly women and girls dress today. You can't go in the summertime. You know, I take my go swimming somewhere. Look at the bathing suits these young girls. Of course, you know, you got to look. It's hard to see their beauty because you got to get through all their tattoos. You know, I mean, they've marked themselves. Even the one across the back of the waist right here in the lower back, it's called a whore stamp, isn't it? That's what people call it. Oh, look, she's got a whore stamp, the stamp of a whore. And look at what they wear and look at what they wore in the 50s. Our parent, our grand would be a shocked at the way women dress. They make bathing suits out of dental floss now. And they're proud. Oh, they strut it. Hey, if you got it, you know, that's what this society has done. Our enemies who own the movies, they've promoted women to be proud of what you do. If you want to have a man, hey, own it. Name it and claim. Hey, go ahead, have your fun. It's not worth it. Don't listen to the word. Okay, let's get back to Samson. Go back to the book of Judges, chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. I'm going to go back to verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved the woman of the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth. And by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. What a nice lady. What a nice lady. Of course, here's Samson. Now, I've never met, I don't know if you have, I've never met a girl named Delilah. You don't, I don't know why women don't name their daughters Delilah for some reason. I don't know why, just like I've never met a guy named Judas, but I think there's something going on here. So here he is, he's with Delilah, and the Philistines say, hey, find out where this guy gets his strength, and we'll pay you 1,100 pieces of silver. I can't imagine how much money that is. But Samson had a price on his head. And as I said earlier, this woman's going to bring him down. This woman is going to bring him down. Just very briefly, keep your finger there. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read something that he disobeyed, and we're going to see the response of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, very familiar, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And ye are the temple of the living God. You know, remember the definition of a harlot, serving other gods. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. So here Samson is breaking this right off the bat. He's not going to be one with this Delilah lady, but he has a fire in it. He has a desire of her. Now, we're going to finish reading the story. I think you guys all know what's going to happen. But before we go back, I got one more little thing. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to read verse 10 to 12. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So Samson is, like David read in the opening, he's reaping his flesh. His flesh is overpowering his spirit when it comes to Delilah. His flesh is craving this woman. And boy, is she going to turn him into. We're going to read it, but you guys know what happens. Let's go back to Judges. And I want to make a comment before we read. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I remember in the late 70s, I watched Phil Donahue had a talk show in Chicago at the time. It's funny the things you remember as I were preparing this. And the topic of this day was there was a school, I believe it was in Los Angeles, they wanted to pass out condoms to all the students who wanted them. Of course, he had people there that argued this side. Of course, Phil, like, hey, they can't ask young kids. This is the late 70s. The late 70s. You can't expect these young kids not. They're going to do it. Well, hey, let's protect them. Let's be adults about this. Let's pass out condoms. Let's just pass them out so that at least they'll protect themselves. Let's be smart if we're going to do this sin. And there were people, I remember they were saying, no, you're sending the wrong message, blah, 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 blah. I want to just make a comment about this. It's one man's opinion, okay? Yeah, a condom might protect a girl from getting pregnant. A condom might protect a girl from getting a sexually transmitted disease. But, hey, a condom won't protect her heart. It won't protect her feelings and emotion. That's what's destroyed. I remember Pastor Don gave a message a while back about courtship and how God, it was to protect the girl. Girls aren't like guys. 17-year-old guys and girls ain't like that. A condom won't protect her heart. A condom won't protect her purity. It won't protect her feelings and emotions. My wife and I got a video many, many years ago. This lady, I forget her name, but she had a DVD called Sex Has a Price Tag. And she goes around to high schools giving speeches. And here's something I remember. She said she was talking to girls. This was girls only. She wasn't talking to the guy. This was for girls. She said, girls, I just want to let you know something. And if you let your boyfriend talk, you will even have him. And she called it premarital sex. You know, because we love each other, she kept saying. Well, we love each other. I've done my research. I've got the numbers. If you allow that boy to have sexual relations with you, based on all my research, I believe it was 75% in 4 to 6 weeks he'll break up with you. It happens 75% of the time. Because, see, I've had you. I wonder what she's like. Wonder what she's like, you know. And she told him, she said, look, guys make love with their eyes. Women make love with their ears. Oh, you're so pretty. I love you. You're the best. Don't fall for that. Talk. Men will lie to get what they want. Don't fall for it. If you think that heartache, when he leaves you, and he will, If he loves you, he'll wait. He'll wait. I would love to tell girls dating, we're all human beings. You might even desire him. He might desire you. But if you tell him, you know what? As soon as we're married, as soon as you say I do, I will. And if he agrees to that, you might have somebody pretty special, because that he has elevated his love for you over his lust for you. The love is stronger than the lust. Because if a man lusts out, it takes that fire. If he's a godly man and he's willing to wait, and he says, you know, you might have somebody pretty special, pretty special. So hang on to that. Okay, let's get back to the story, back to Judges. And I'm just going to read out, finish out the story. Judges chapter 16, beginning in verse 6. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with seven green withs that were never dried, then I shall be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought upon to her seven green withs which she had not dried, and she bound him with them. Now, how did she bind him? I'm reading between the lines there. I think he went into her, he had his fun, and then now he's going to go to sleep. And so she's going to bind him. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as the thread of tow is broken, and he toucheth not the fire, so his strength was not known. So he lied to her. Girls, a man will lie to you to get what he wants. So she said, what do you get your strength from? Well, he lied to her. Verse 10, and Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou might be, where do you get your strength? And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then I shall be weak and as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait, abiding in the chamber, and he broke them as if, broke them from his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto him, herein thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Get with the program, stupid. Does Delilah love Samson? Does Delilah care about Samson? She keeps nagging him. Where do you get your strength? Well, and he lies, and they do. Then he lies again, and he lies again, and then he lies. Hey, get with it, buddy. What is she after? Why does she want to know the power of your strength? And Delilah 13 said to him, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awake out of his sleep. I told you, when men are done, they sleep. And he went away with the pin of the beam and with them. And she said unto him, how canst thou say you love me when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Here it comes. And it came to pass when she pressed upon him daily. So now she's nagging him daily. Won't shut up. He keeps lying. She catches him lying. He proves her. Here we go. 17 words again. And he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, and I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will become weak and be like another man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her by his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for they have slain me with, he have showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought money to her hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake them off, or shake myself. And he wist not of the Lord, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. So now she broke him down. He broke down, he told her the truth, and God has left him. His strength is gone. If you will, turn with me. We're going to go back. We'll be right back. Go to the book of John, John 3. And I'm going to read verse 19 to 21. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds shall be reproved or discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. He disobeyed his parents. He didn't like the truth. He liked darkness. He liked the Philistines who are in darkness. They can't be converted. This is his third woman he's been with who was in darkness as far as God's concerned. These women were not covenant people. They were not of thy brethren. They were not Israelites. They were the enemies of the people that he was supposed to deliver Israel from, these people. And he's hanging out with them, and he's going after their women. His parents tried to give him the light, but he loved darkness. Oh, let's go party. Let's have our fun. We're young. You're only young once. Let's go party. Let's have fun. Drink and be merry. I'll be old. I'll get into this religion stuff when I get old. Okay, we're going to finish it up. Go back to Judges chapter 16, verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. Now in the movie, they held him and they showed a head. They took an iron out of a fire with her, and they just gouged his eyes out. Because in the movie, they said, okay, look upon Delilah, for this is the last thing you're ever going to see. And they took a hot iron and gouged his eyes out. But they made him look at Delilah. Said, yeah, you killed 1,000 men, but this woman brought you down. And they gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. With the help of our God Dagon, we've overpowered this Israelite, this church-going man. Look at what we did. We sent these pretty women after him, and he fell, and now he's ours, and our God is more powerful than the God of Israel. Our Dagon delivered our enemy. He killed 1,000 men, but man, we got him now. And for money, Delilah took him down. But he never should have been with her in the first place. His parents said, don't go among them. Find a wife of your brethren, of our people, not them. What did that commandment? Honor thy mother and father, that thou mayest live long. That thou mayest live long. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands the enemy, which the destroyer of our country, remember the wheat, the crop he burned, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that we may make sport of him. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and he set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. They're partying. The lords are there. The high, the priest, everybody's here. Hey, come on. You know this guy that killed 1,000? Hey, we got him. Come on, we're going to mess around. We're going to play with him a little bit. Were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women, and beheld while Samson was made sport of. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was bore up, and the one on the right hand, one on the left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself, and with all his might And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were within. So the dead that which he slew at his death were more than which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zoar and Eshtaol in the burying place of Mo-Nahar, his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. The title of this message was, Samson, You Died. How many of the enemies of God could he have destroyed if he'd have just followed God's ways? If he'd have just stayed on that narrow path? He might have lived another 40, 50 years, and he could have destroyed thousands more. But he reaped what he sowed. He disobeyed his God. He disobeyed his parents. But yet, and I want to finish with this. Got a couple more readings. Go to Psalms chapter 44. I always want to bring this up because, like I said, we got to understand God's power and forgiveness. Psalms 44, verse 20. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hand to a strange God, shall not God search this out, for he knoweth the secrets of your heart? That's what Samson did. As we read, that's what harlotry is. If his people went a-whoring after strange gods. Ishtar, Ashtaroth, Christmas, Easter, Halloween's coming up. I know there are churches who are going to have a Halloween party. Oh, dress up as your favorite Bible character. We're going to put a little Christian into this Halloween stuff. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. You're observing the day. We're not supposed to act like that. It's Thursday. Whatever day it falls on, it's another day. You don't honor it. Call it what you want. You don't have a party and tell you, oh, dress up as your favorite. That's nonsense. That is utterly nonsense that churches do that. Well, we want our kids to be like the heathen kids or the ungodly kids. We don't want them to feel that. This is a narrow walk, Laura David. We're not like everybody else. We don't do what they do. We don't serve their God. I know. I did it. I remember listening to Pastor Don. I know where the bobbing apples came from. It was boiling oil. I know about the wicker man. I know where all this garbage comes from. And I ain't never going to do it. And neither are my children. Don't buy into that. Well, we want our kids to feel like the rest. No, I want my kids to know you're not like the world. And God will seek your heart. Another problem. Go to the book of Judges. Here's what happens because the men who God called to rule, and they didn't do it. Go to Judges 21. Just two more readings. Here's what happened. It's the end. The very last book. Judges chapter 21, verse 25. It's the last verse in the book of Judges. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that was right in his own eye. That's what happens. Thank God for Pastor Don. Thank God for Pastor Mark, Pastor Dan, Jerry, whoever you want to. We have preachers amongst us who love and are in some ways of Israel. And we are not to do what's right in our eye. We're to do what's right in God's eyes. What his view of something is, that's our view. Samson fell for, he did what was right in his own eyes, and he disobeyed. One last reading, very well known. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That's men who act like women. That's what effeminate is. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves. Samson had to steal to pay off his gambling debt. Nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, which is, I call it the Faith Hall of Fame, Samson is mentioned. But boy, did he pay a price. Boy, did he pay a price. Yes, he had to go grind the wheel. I don't know how long it took his hair to grow out. I don't know how long he was in that prison thing and pushing that wheel. And he cried out to his God one more time, and God did hear him. But Samson, you died too young. God had a plan for you. He had power. You had his power like men didn't have. You could have destroyed more of God's enemies for your people. But you went after your own flesh. We can all learn from that. We can all learn from that. May we be strong. It's very narrow. It's a sad, lonely, narrow walk. But we will get that crown of life at the end. It will be worth it. May the God of our fathers bless each and every one of you. Thank you very much.